Gertrude Spiro and Rose Kaufman interviewing Joseph Ziggy Kahn on December 19, 1975. We're supposed to play this back. We'd like to know a little bit about your family, your father, your mother, your siblings. Give us some of your background.
My father came from Corland, Finland. I was chased out of Corland, Finland by the Tsar of Russia. All the Jews in Finland, in Corland, there were 32 Jews there, and they were chased out of Finland, given enough transportation to come over to America. My father was a farmer and a hiker. He came over by 1886, and he married a mother who at that time name was Eva Abrams. When he came over, my mother happened to have some relatives, and they actually took care of the financial conditions. He had a brother who lived in Chicago. Thank God he actually supported the family until my father was able to get some work. He became a driver in a big conjunction company. They were on Forbes Avenue. Later on, an uncle of mine, of my brother's, gave him a job at G.A. Williams. Stayed there until he passed away. I have three other brothers. One lived in California. He passed away about 2 months ago. The other brother was a sergeant of police in New York City. He lived in New York City. And my younger brother is a pharmacist, and he lives in Pittsburgh.
What year did your father come to America?
I think it was 1886.
That's a long time.
So he was born in 1898.
All right. What was your home atmosphere? Was it a religious family?
My mother was very religious. My father wasn't religious. And we lived on the Clay District. Center Avenue, 1824, someplace around there, and then we moved to Rivali Avenue and Webster Avenue.
That's where most of the Jewish people lived.
In fact, the Hill District was practically complete with Jews and Irish Italians. At that time, the enemy of the Jews and Irish. I have one son, William Kahn. He's the executive director of all of Jewish centers in St. Louis, Missouri, considered the top sociologist in the world. He was loaned 2 years ago by the Senator to Israel. He was over in Israel for 6 months, helping with various problems. His name is William Kahn. Four grandchildren, a boy and three girls.
During the period of the years that you lived up on the hill, what was the political atmosphere? I mean, who was your mayor, and how was the
Well, we lived on the hill. I don't know too much about it at that time, but we had one friend. Remember his name, James Malone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he district chairman was a guy, a man by the name of Harry Felton. He had the problems. Alone and Felton took care of him. Actually, most of the people lived on the hill. We used to work 12 to 16 hours a day to make a living. And it was a very rugged time on the hill. We were despised. Of course, we had a number of friends, and Jenny organized into various groups. I remember a time I went to Moorhead School. It was my granddad's school. And every time we went to school, there was a Catholic school and a Catholic church on Wiley Avenue, around the 1800 block. I was arrested 4 or 5 times, beaten up some of these Irish. One thing, my father was a heavyweight boxing champion, Cura Federer. When I was 7 years old, he says, Joe, I want just $2.50. Down to Fifth Avenue by yourself, boxing gloves. So I went down to my boxing gloves, and he insisted that the boys learn how to box. So the only two of us were a boy by the name of Bobby Ray, and was contender for the local league championship in the world. And thank God that I was able to use my fists. Right.
You had to.
Arrested 4 times. I was 12 years of age. James Malone went down there and raised an awful commotion. I was discharged. We organized a Jewish boys' club. And anywhere we never went by ourselves, we went in a group. All of us became members of the Lord Kingsley House, that's for Carmen Trade School. A man by the name of Mr. Coop, very good friend of the Jews.
What was his first name? Do you remember?
Don't be afraid of his first name. And on Wiley Avenue, I can't remember his name, it was an alderman. Very friendly, at the time of all, we were very friendly to our people. They would help us in all kinds. Thank God that my father made me learn how to box, because that's very important.
You had to defend yourself, you had no choice. Is there anything more you want to tell me about your background, and if not, we'll go on to the religious background in your school, your grades, your high school.
Well, I graduated from Moorhead School, and then I went to Central High School after I graduated. Fortunately, we had a coach, you may have heard of, Andy Turner, took very good care of most of our Jews. And naturally, the activity that I'm more interested in was athletics, football, basketball, baseball, boxing, and track. I made letters in 4 sports. I graduated high school, grammar school. I went to Shemmy High School. That was originally Sunwell High School. I was captain of the football team and captain of the track team. Graduated, I got a scholarship at the University of Pittsburgh. Then the First World War was on, and then I quit school, and I quit Pitt and served in the First World War. After the First World War, I went back to Panzer College. That's in Montclair, New Jersey, where I got my degree in physical education. I graduated. I was offered a big job at prep school. The understanding was that I wasn't graduated. Before I reported, I received a letter telling me that they couldn't use it. I signed a contract. I got hold of Henry Panzer, who was the dean for the School of Physical Education. His attorney was Jewish, and he was going to sue the school. The contract at that time was $2,000 a year. Today, it would be equivalent to about $15,000.
No, he did not get that. You didn't get the job.
Because I was Jewish. I received the letter and told me that voided a contract. A lawyer went in and talked to these people, and they said they would pay me for the year $2,000, one provision. I never tell anybody the name of the school. It's one of the most powerful prep schools in the United States. So I happened to be up at the Iron Cotton Settlement one day, and my brother was boxing. He was trained, and I was boxing with him, and Sidney Teller, who was the executive director of the Iron Cotton Settlement on the Hill, called me aside and he said, Ziggy, well, the way I got my name Ziggy, we were playing for the WPIL football championship against Braddock. And that day I happened to be pretty lucky. Zigzagging in and out, made six touchdowns. Bill Pete had the Pittsburgh Dispatch. He gave me the name Ziggy, which stayed with me. I mentioned people called up and wanted to know where they could find you related to Ziggy Kahn, and I always smiled and laughed. I said, that's me. We're trying to find him. See, I was listed as the alderman. Then I organized the Squirrel Hill Boys Club. I stayed at the Iron Cup and settled. I was still there for 42 years. I turned down about 15 or 20 jobs. Wouldn't take them unless it was working for a Jewish organization. In the same situation that I got into before.
In the 42 years that you were the director of the Irene Kaufman Settlement, you saw a great many of the Jewish children went through. Could you give us the names of some of the boys that you trained who are the leaders in Pittsburgh today?
Well, there's Alan Linder, he's a partner of Linko Products, and member of Will, Arnold Feinberg, Herbert Bond, who died in an accident, Buzzard Greenberg, who got the news on the Darlington Road down there, and Benny Jacobs. Well, there's quite a number.
But you influenced very many of the children in this area.
The thing I did, our teams were so powerful that one time the whole Duquesne University basketball team was the IKS team. They went to Pitt, they went to Tech, they went to Westminster, they went to various colleges that were able to get an education.
So you were really a triple threat. You did many things in the sports field. You went into the community service by being the director of the of the Ikes.
I was an athletic director and in charge of purchasing personnel.
There must have been many interesting things in the city at that time. Could you paint a little picture for us of how was Squirrel Hill? How were the children? Economically, was there a greater need for these children to have a place? Like today, they have the camps. What about in those years?
Well, later on, before I became alderman, I organized the Squirrel Hill Boys Club. Forward Avenue.
When?
That was, I think 1940s. I don't know the year. In 1940, I organized the Squirrel Hill Boys Club. And we didn't have too much money. And the Irene Kaufman settlement, Ivy Wood, asked us if we would turn that over to the Irene Kaufman settlement, which I went to the board. Charlie Sable at that time was the president. And we had a meeting, and they said, it's up to you, whatever you want to do. Provided I make you associate. Which I was, until we finally got this area down here. That was a funeral party down here on the Irene Kaufman Settlement. The center is. And we turned it over to them. And then I came out. I stayed with them until 1963 when I retired. I was asked to by the Democratic organization in the 14th Ward at that time, the 14th Ward, Squirrel Hill was a complete Republican ward, all Republican. And they asked me if I would run for alderman. So I ran for alderman and I won my first 2,000 votes due to the help I got from Harry Kemp and the Sun Telegraph.
What year were you? Did you
I was elected in 1949. Then passed a law. I was alderman for 20 years and I wasn't permitted to run for alderman before I got my age. 1974, first Monday of 1974, I was still alderman. That time, I completed 24 years of service. I enjoyed that service for a number of reasons. Although I wasn't a religious person, my family wasn't religious. My mother was. My father wasn't religious, even the fact here. He was chased out of Finland, big farm, and they had a bank down there. I felt the way he felt. He and I were very, very close. And before I was alderman, I was elected. I was elected the president of the Amateur Athletic League. First time a Jew was ever elected to that post. And they passed a law after I was in there 2 years. I ran another year. I was told that I wasn't eligible because the law says you can only be president for 2 years. The man who was president before me was William S. Hatfield. He was a former sheriff of Allegheny County. A wonderful person. One of the most marvelous persons. Treated me like it was something. He passed away, I took over. I was first vice president, then I was elected for 3 years, and I had to give it up. And I gave it up when I was president, and I got arrested.
Why did you give it up? I didn't get that.
Well, I wasn't committed.
We'll come back to the sports and the aldermen and some of your life now. But I want to follow this a little bit, and I want to ask you, where did you meet your wife? How long you courted her, when you were married?
I met her at a park. In fact, I was so busy with sports and different things she's the first sweetheart I ever had. Wonderful woman.
What's her name?
Ann. Yeah. Yeah,
I do want some.
I'm going to give you this. Here's some.
What was her maiden name, Ziggy?
Pearl.
Ann Pearl. I'll get it later. Leave it, I'll get it. How many years did you court her before you married her?
6 months.
6 months. Okay. Where did you live after you were married?
I lived on Darlington Road.
What year were you married?
I think 1924. Give the organization more benefit.
Yeah, I will. I want to get started a little bit with the... when will... During the years that you were growing up, was there any medical care for the youth? Nothing was done. The contrast between what was happening.
These women, I remember as a kid, they used to chase around all over the city picking up canned goods, picking up bread, picking up this. See, there was no Social Security. They had the Jewish Federation. Some organizations down there among the Jews would help some of them. They're very proud. I didn't find that out now. They're so proud, you'd be surprised, especially with food stamps. You go in there, I'll give you how many. I made up 11 months of the year to show you. Let's see how many of them have food stamps. Then I got some papers I'll give you too.
And they're not eager to take them.
They're not eager to take. Let's see, from the time, food stamps, 191, that's just in 3 months. Subsidy Social Security, 73. In other words, we finished the year, 158 rent rebates.
I want to come back to that. I want to get back to the younger years when we had a depression in Pittsburgh. You were so much part of it,
yeah.
And you helped so many people and young children to have recreation.
See, the man that did most of that there was the man, he's dead, Charlie Sable. Charlie Sable had the lack of a man, people free burial. I remember, I don't like to mention names because some of these people he helped are millionaires. See, millionaires. You know, we don't get a grant.
I'll get to that later. I was past. So tell me, during the Depression years, how did the people manage? Did the Jewish people have any help except, like you said, from Charles Sable or from the United States?
They had something to help. They had work.
You have done your occupation after working for the Irene Kaufman Settlement. You became an alderman. During your early years, you were in sports and you were...
Not very much money.
Anyway, you mixed all these things together. And I wanted to get back to the alderman. When you were alderman, what kind of cases did you have? There wasn't narcotic or drugs in those years.
No,
nothing. Yes.
I had all kinds of cases. I see the beautiful part. I was the only Jewish artist in 49. And these, you know, most of our people were hucksters. And they used to travel around and sell different things. They'd go to different areas in Allegheny County. A lot of them, you know, had a permit. A lot of them didn't know that. They used to be picked up and fined. Well, I was pretty powerful at that time. I said,
politically.
And I had a lot of friends. You see, there's nothing that some of you mayors wouldn't do for me. See, our problem used to be when I was a kid, they were our friends.
Yeah.
We used to have a colored alderman on the Hill District, in Eastville. These colored people would come in there and tell them that they were cheating, this and that, and we would sue them. And then when I was all of them, and again, I went down and I used to get his name. I used to tell him, look, he says, I'm going to sue them rock. Mm-hmm. We straightened that up pretty good all the way around to get it down. This was the busiest all of them got to send out. I had 9 constables, and only 1 Jewish constable. Some of these constables didn't do anything in the world.
But anyway, you kept peace and
everything
was done. And the main thing is that you knew the people in this area. And
I know practically, you know what a funny part of it is. A lot of people can live with old people. I can tell you how to start children. I call them on the phone. They come in sometimes. Some of them want to know what they can do, and I explain it. I'll give you one example. We had an old woman. She's about 76 years old. She had $36,000. She gave $12,000 to her son. She gave $12,000 to the doctor. And each one of them wrote her a letter. Thank you here many times. You need me help. 14 years, they ignored her. She needed help. She was brought up here by a young woman. This is about, after I was through being the auditor, it was too bad. She didn't come up. So I called the daughter up. She hung up on me. So next morning, I'm sitting in here, a great big guy with a great big nose, Jewish fellow. What the hell business have you got calling my sister and this and that and that? So I said, this is my why do you feel that way? Your mother needs help. The hell with it. So I turn around and I say, I put my glasses on here. And I got a police chief sitting over there. He went to see me. He gets up and he says to me, Mickey, he says, I'll take care of that guy. Oh, I'll take care of it. So I get up there and I put my glasses on here and I walked around. The guy ran, great big guy, over to the wall over there.
Did they help their mother? This is what I'm
doing. Well, yeah, wait. So I said, you sit down here, I'm going to break your goddamn neck, which I shouldn't have sworn. See, he sat down there and I called up this little woman. This woman lives just down the street, not far from here. See, she's got an old dilapidated house. You should have seen it. Torn dress.
So you had those kind too.
So she sits down, he didn't even say hello to her. He says, what do you want? Well, the old lady told me this. I'm older than her. She says, well, if I could get $50 a month. So I says to him, I want $75 a month for your mother. It's up to you and your sister. And if you don't turn around and give us that money, you're in trouble. He sits down, he writes a check out for $75 right there. This is 9 months ago. He's been sending her And the funny part of it is, they got together. See, they got together. See? And I told this little woman that was with me, little lady, friend, you got to save the private box. She said, yeah. I said, put this in there, or I'll take it and put it in mine.
So they are taking care of her.
Now they're taking care of her. I see her, she hollers, she sends up the fifth fish. I don't need it, I give it away. You know, and I got a lot of them come up here. I could give that close to 80 of them that need help. Even in this article here that I made, background information, I mentioned the fact.
Okay, I'm going.
See, I was interested in the kids at Squirrel Hill. See, they like to play baseball.
Will you wait just 1 minute? I'm going to read the.